We're turning once again in God's holy word to the book of Isaiah and the chapter 50, please. The 50th chapter of the book of Isaiah. And you'll find my text for this morning in the first 10 of the chapter. Who is among you, asks the Lord, our Savior. He's making inquiry after his saints, especially those that walk in darkness. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Our text for this morning speaks of a saint of God or saints of God who are walking in darkness. In its first application, of course, our text refers to Israel, upon whom God's judgment and chastisement was to come. And this was as a result of this, there were many godly ones in Israel who would, under the period of trouble and trial that was to come to Israel, would feel cast down and perhaps discouraged. So the Lord speaks to comfort them and encourage them. And he asks, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that walketh, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. It must be said that the darkness in which the saint is said here to walk is not the darkness of ignorance or of sin or of death. For the saint or the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ walks not in darkness, in a sense, because John tells us in his first epistle that we walk in the light, even as he, even as God is in the light. So the sorrow and the darkness here is not the darkness of ignorance or of sin or of death. It is rather darkness of sorrow and gloom. It is walking under a dark providence, if you like, and not seeing the face of the Lord, wondering what on earth is happening in our lives and where the Lord is at that particular moment. And so then, this text refers to not only ancient Israel, but to all God's saints when they are walking in darkness and they have no light. There are those, of course, abroad who would tell us that the believer should never walk in gloom and sorrow. And if they do, it is because of some failure on their part or some sin, and that this is a chastisement of God, a sign of his disapproval. Well, that may be true in the case of those who have sinned against God, who have disobeyed God, who have backslidden from the Lord. The Lord could send times of darkness and chastisement upon them and hide his face from them. But it's not always the case. Frequently, it is the case that God's people, even the best of them, go through times of darkness, times of gloom, times of sorrow, times of grief. We could cite as an example Moses. Now, Moses was a mighty man of God, yet he knew such times of gloom and sorrow. For we read in Numbers chapter 11, verses 14 through 15, that Moses says to God, I'm not able to bear all this people alone, because it is too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand, if I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness. So here was the mighty man of God, Moses, the lawgiver, and he's burdened down. He's troubled, he's tried, he's pressed to the limit. He is weary of all the complaining and the murmuring of the people of God. He had such a big congregation, much bigger than anything we will know, millions, at least a couple of million. And all these came with their troubles and trials to him, and it got him down. And he says, Lord, I can't stick this. I can't take this anymore. And this is the way it's going to be. Kill me. End my life. Take me home right now. So even Moses walked under a cloud of darkness. And then, of course, we could consider Elijah. You know the story of Elijah. He made a similar request in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 4. We read of Elijah, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he had been running before the chariot just before that, but here he is, and he sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough. Now, Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And Elijah was a mighty man of God, but here he is, he's under the juniper tree. He's under a dark cloud. His spirits are very low. He is downcast. And we might also consider, of course, the Lord Jesus himself, who in Gethsemane's garden said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. And so then, it is possible, and frequently is the case, that the heirs of heaven, the children of light, the people of God, even the best of them, who are not guilty of any crime or wickedness or sin against God, at least any known sin against God, walk in darkness. They walk under a dark providence. And for a while they cannot see the Lord's face, the shining of his face, to comfort them in their hour of need. As we look at this text then this morning, I'd like us to notice in the first place the character of the person or persons who are said in our first to walk in darkness. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant? So lest we be in any doubt about the character of these persons, of whom it is said that they walked in darkness, notice that they are said to fear the Lord. This word translated feareth is in our text is a word which is used to set forth the whole of the religious character. He who feareth the Lord is one who believes in, reverences, loves, and venerates God. They're also said to obey the voice of God's servant, that obeyeth the Lord's servant, the text says. So God's servant here is none other than the Lord Jesus speaking to his people, as the context clearly shows, and he tells us that even his faithful people, those that fear the Lord, those that obey his voice, can at times be under a dark cloud. and walk in darkness. So if you're here this morning and you're under a cloud and you find yourself walking in darkness, and if you're watching or listening to this service and you're one such, it's no wonder that you are down and a wee bit under the weather at this time, especially if you have problems or troubles or trials or sickness, are isolated and are lonely. It's no wonder that you feel down. But don't be hard on yourself. Don't be tempted to think that it's because of some sin in yourself. If you can truthfully look up to God and say, Lord, I know I'm not perfect. I know I'm not perfect. But Lord, thou knowest. Thou knowest, as far as I know, I'm living my life before thee as best I can with thy help and by thy grace. If that is so, even though you're walking in darkness, do not imagine God has forsaken you. But you'll notice also this sad condition in which these people walked. They're said to be walking in darkness. And we've already stated that this darkness is not the darkness of ignorance or of sin or even of death. It is rather the darkness of gloom and sorrow. Now, there are many things that can induce this condition in a Christian. We've already mentioned bodily weakness or sickness. When these things come upon us, it's hard to be joyful. It's hard to be glad, though some people manage it. How they do, I do not know. I know that whenever I am not feeling too well or I'm sickly and weak, I get under a cloud and I don't exactly rejoice. And some do, and it's a wonderful thing. Some people have a great spirit, and no matter what comes their way, no matter what trouble or trial comes their way, they rejoice. And they're glad. And they're not walking under a cloud. They're enjoying the full sunshine of God's face. But it's not so with everybody. And we need to remember that. And we ministers need to remember that. And I have had to remember that when visiting the sick of my congregation. It's so easy when you yourself are feeling healed and hearty to say to someone who is in pain and sickness, cheer up, cheer up. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Rejoice, be glad. It's easy to talk like that when you're healed and hearty. But it's hard to heed that advice when you're the one that is sick. I remember going to see a dear man one time. He's only a young man, and he suffered with MS, and he was in a wheelchair. And I tried to comfort him and encourage him, and he turned the tables on me, and he said to me, it's all right for you, Mr. Whiteside. How would you feel if you were in this chair? He says, my life's ruined. I'll never walk again properly. I will never work. I can't go about life's business as I used to. And here I am, stuck in this chair, and can only get about with great difficulty. How would you feel? Well, I said to him, thankfully, the Lord gave me a wee verse. I said, well, brother, the Lord says that he has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. And I said, most surely I would not want to be in your position. But if I was, at least for the saint, it's only for a short period. Life, at best, is very brief, like the falling of a leaf. And then your suffering will be over. My suffering will be over. since he hasn't dealt with us after our sins, and he will not deal with us after our sins, nor reward us according to our iniquity. And so I would try to take comfort in that thought. Better to suffer affliction here in this world for a few years and then go to glory, where you'll never know sickness or suffering or affliction ever again, than to enjoy the fullness of health here and die without Christ or without God and go to a lost eternity. But I know it's easy to talk when you're not feeling too well. And this can cause you sickness, bodily pain. Maybe you're going through surgeries. Done that. Got a t-shirt. Know what that's all about. And it's not easy to rejoice. And you can walk in darkness. And of course, we've heard this morning of bereavements. That also can cause us to walk in darkness, get our spirits down. When someone we love or know or hold very dear is taken from us, a husband or a wife or a father or a mother or a child or a brother or a sister. Now, when that happens to us, we can come under a cloud and we can walk in sorrow and in grief. And of course, we can walk under a cloud when things aren't going too well with us as far as temporal and material things are concerned. Many are losing their jobs today because of this lockdown. Businesses are going out of business, and people don't know whether they have jobs to go back to, and some have been told there's no job for you to come back to, and people are worrying, what am I going to do? How am I going to make ends meet? How am I going to pay my mortgage? These are all very real concerns, I know. I know. I've talked to people who have these real, genuine concerns. And that brings a dark cloud over us. And sometimes we walk in darkness when we're disappointed in those whom we thought were friends, and they betray us. Well, the Lord Jesus knows all about that, doesn't he? He says, my own familiar friend has lifted up his heel against me. And sometimes people let us down, and we're disappointed, and we're discouraged, and we're cast down. The Lord says he was wounded in the house of his friends. And sometimes that kind of wound is more painful than the wounds of an enemy. And then when we look around us in our country today, and not only in our country, in the world at large, oh, I know people are getting very, very troubled by what is going on, because they're calling good evil, and they're calling evil good. And if you speak up on the side of good, you're put down. And we wonder what it's all going to come to. People are worrying about their children. People are worrying about their grandchildren, the sort of world and society they're growing up in. I wouldn't worry too much about it, for it not last very much longer, I believe. But all these thoughts and all these things can induce this condition and cause us to walk under a cloud. When we pray and we don't seem to be able to see the light of God's face, and we can't get this old cloud lifted, and it lingers day in and day out, week in and week out, maybe month in and month out, we're walking under a cloud. So we see the character of the persons who walk in darkness. He is one who fears the Lord and obeys his servant. We see the condition in which such dear souls often find themselves. They walk in darkness and have no light. But you'll notice that the Lord doesn't leave us there. He gives us counsel in such times and on such occasions. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant? Let him walk that walketh in darkness and hath no light, let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. The first thing we are told that we should do if we're in such a condition is to trust in the name of the Lord. Have faith. And don't confuse faith with feelings. Feelings are fickle things. They can be up today and down tomorrow. They can change in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. But faith and feelings are not the same things. They're not one and the same. One in a bygone day said truly, faith is a principle which has its root deeper than feeling. We believe whether we see or not. We believe whether we feel or not. We believe in Christ upon the testimony of the Father concerning him, that the testimony is enough for us even if there is no attendant signs. Our happy experiences is a pleasant confirmation of the word of the Lord, but when it seems to fail us, we believe still. So, don't confuse your feelings with faith. Mr. Spurgeon said, don't let your feelings fly in the teeth of God's promises. Put your trust in God. Trust upon his word and in his word and upon his loving arm. So, if we trust in the Lord, even in darkness, we will be sustained. Trust in God himself. Trust in his love. Trust in his wisdom. Trust in his power to save and sustain. Trust in his faithfulness, he'll not let you down. Trust in his word. Trust in his word. An old pastor once told me many years ago when I sought his advice as a young minister, and he was near the end of his journey after a long pastorate. I asked his advice and he says, yes, Billy, I want you to remember two things. He says, when the storm blows, and then he paused and he says, and you, Billy, the storm will blow. He says, when the storm blows, he says, remember two things. Number one, God is too loving to cause a needless tear. Excuse me. Number two, God is too wise to make a mistake. And we need to remember these things. When the storm blows, when trouble comes, when trials and difficulties come our way, when we're walking under that dark cloud, when we have no light, nothing to lighten the darkness, all seems dark and gloomy, trust in the Lord and stay upon the Lord. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Stay upon his God. This is a variation from the counsel we have just been considering. That is, let him trust in the Lord, in the name of the Lord. The word stay means to lean upon, to rest upon, to rely upon, as well as to trust in. Have you ever seen a sick person rising from a bed in which they have been confined for a long period? The long sickness has drained all the strength from them and their legs can hardly hold them up. But they take the arm of an able-bodied person. They lean on them. In effect, they are leaning their weakness upon the strength of the able-bodied person. I remember a dear man who was dying of cancer, and did die of cancer. But he expressed a desire to get a wee walk, get a wee breath of air. And so I and another person, got at either side of him. We got the hold of his arms, and he just leaned on us. He stared on us, and his feet moved, but we were really carrying him. And he was so glad to get out just for a short walk, just a few yards, get a breath of air. He was staying upon us. His weakness was stayed upon our strength. And that's what that means. That word there means. That's what this text means. When you're in utter weakness and have no strength of your own, then stay yourself upon God. Lean all your weakness upon Him. Trust in His love. Trust in His faithfulness. Trust in His power to help you. Trust in His grace and His mercy and His goodness. Trust in His word, and He will sustain you. And so we see then the character of the persons referred to in our text, and we see the condition that they often find themselves in, and we see the counsel that they're given. But you'll notice the consequence that follows if we heed this counsel, if we obey this counsel, if we put our trust in the Lord, and if we stay ourselves upon Him. If we do so, we will find that we will be much helped and strengthened and encouraged in our midnight experience. One of old has said, "We cannot see the stars in the daytime, but they're still there. We have to wait till the night falls and hope for a clear sky. And then we see the stars in all their beauty twinkling in the dark sky." And so it is, we have to at times walk in the darkness to see the bright star, the morning star, the Lord Jesus Himself. And often when we walk in darkness, we get a view of Him that we've never had before. Do you know, one of my boys came down with the virus. And he was hospitalized. We thought we were going to lose him. And he said to me, "Thank God he's out. God raised him up and brought him out, and he's home with his wee family." But he said to me, "You know, Dad, one day I thought I was going to die." He said, "I thought it's all over. I'm going to die." And he was very ill. But he said this. He says, "You know, I had an experience with God that I've never had before." He was saved. He said, I've had an experience with God that I never had before that'll stay with me the rest of my life. I'll never be the same. Yes. He got a vision of Jesus, not an actual vision, but you know what I mean. He saw Jesus with the eye of faith in a way he'd never seen Him before. Close to Him in the hour of his deep need, in the midnight hour. Oh, stay upon Jesus, dear one. I know I don't make light of your troubles. Far from it. I don't condemn you for feeling down and gloomy and sad. It's understandable. And many are like that today. But if you love the Lord, put your trust in Him and stay upon Him. And if you do so, you'll find that He'll give you strength and help and grace in your hour of need. We could speak out of personal experience, but we'll not do that. What lessons God teaches his people, and what rich spiritual experiences they receive in these midnight experiences. But it's also clearly implied in our text, or at least it can be inferred from our text, that God will bring his people who walk in dark into the light eventually. You'll not always walk in the dark. It'll not always be midnight with you. He will bring you out into the light of a happier present set of circumstances. He will. He'll not let you walk all your life through under a cloud. The night doesn't last forever. Wait a while, and the darkness which presently surrounds you will give way to the light of a better day. But, be that as it may, God will nevertheless bring his people into the light of his eternal day in heaven. In a little while, we're going home. Remember the words, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." So it'll not last forever, Christian. You may have to walk under that cloud for a while and not see the light of his face. It may be a time of deep gloom and sorrow and grief and loss. And you feel you're walking in darkness. You don't know what the next step's going to be, where you're going to, how you're going to turn, what way you're going to turn, what you're going to do. But trust in the Lord in your darkness. Lean upon him, and he will bring you through. He'll dispel the darkness. He'll dispel the gloom. And he'll bring you into the light and the joy of his eternal home ultimately. And even here on earth, he will brighten your way. I've been speaking, of course, to Christians walking in darkness, walking under a cloud. But are you a Christian? I mean a Christian. Are you born again? Blood bought, blood washed, regenerated by the Holy Spirit? Do you love the Lord? Have you repented of your sins? Have you believed in Jesus? Is he your only hope, your only plea? Are you resting your soul for eternity upon him? If not, we have no such words of comfort for you. You're in the dark. You're walking in the dark. And if you die without Christ, you'll go into the darkness of a lost eternity. But bless God, you don't have to. You can come to Jesus. You can trust him as your Savior. If you will this morning repent of your sin and believe in Jesus Christ, trust in his finished work, look to his blood to atone for your sin. Ask him to come into your life and into your heart and turn your whole heart over to him and your life over to him. Turn away from your wicked way and turn on to God through Jesus Christ. You'll not walk in darkness, but you'll walk in light. May God enable you to do so for his name's sake. Amen.